الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام والله عز وجل open the doors of knowledge and wisdom for us have mercy on us O the one who is the most honorable the most gracious بلغ العلا بكماله كشفت دجا بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah Azza wa Jal, our sustainer, provider, cherisher, and nourisher, the master of the day of judgment, the owner, initiator, and creator of everything that exists. We send peace and blessings upon Nabi Akram, Nur Mujassam, Shah Bani Adam, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is resting beneath the luminous dome in Madinatul Munawwara. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to sacrifice our souls at His blessed feet. We send peace and blessings upon His illustrious family and noble companions, alayhim wa ridwan. We say marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to all our esteemed viewers and listeners of Madini Channel. In today's episode and program, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, we are going to be speaking about deceived. Yes, we are going to be speaking about the handling and the affairs of how a mayyat, a deceased, should be handled. Stay with us from now till the end of today's episode and program. Let's listen to the virtues and blessings of Durood-e Paak, Naat-e Paak, inshallah azawajal. Thereafter, we will dive deep into our discussion for this morning. We hope that you are going to be with us. So let's listen to this beautiful hadith. And trust me, dear viewers, this is an amazing hadith with regards to reciting Durood-e Paak. So after you listen to this, I'm hoping that you will increase your enthusiasm for the recitation of Durood-e Paak. As the Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, the person who recites 500 times Durood-e Paak daily upon the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would never be a destitute. Allahu Akbar. He would never become a destitute. Allah azawajalla will save him from destitution, from ghurbat, from poverty, due to the blessings of reciting Durood-e Paak. Look at the easy way to attain blessings and barakah in your salary, in your sustenance. Allahu Akbar. We always take the extra miles in terms of having meetings, business planning to increase your capital. But here, if you do this with good intentions for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will increase you in your rizq, in your ruzi, in your sustenance. Make this intention to recite Durood-e Paak. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Since we do this every single morning and now and again, mashallah, we even recite Durood, we send salams upon the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's do this today as well, inshallah, azawajal, collectively. Aap bhi Durood-e Paak mein shamil ho jaye. Let us recite this beautiful Durood-e Paak collectively.
اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد سب سے اولا وہ اعلی ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا وہ اعلی ہمارا نبی اپنے مولا کا پیارا ہمارا نبی اپنے مولا کا پیارا ہمارا نبی اپنے مولا کا پیارا ہمارا نبی دونوں عالم کا دولہا ہمارا نبی اللہم صل علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد اللہم صل علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد.
After reciting Durood e Paak, Alhamdulillah, the Naat that we are going to be listening to this morning is none other than مدینے قافلے جاتے ہیں میں بھی جاؤں گا. سبحان اللہ. The قافلہs and the troops and caravans are on the way to مدینہ المنورہ, and I also have this desire, this immense desire to present myself at the court of مصطفیٰ جان رحمت صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Listen to this kalam, rejuvenate your spirit and your iman. Until then, صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
یا رسول اللہ یا غریب اللہ یا رسول اللہ یا غریب اللہ
بلا لو پھر مجھے شاہ بحر و بر مدینے میں میں پھر روتا ہوا ہوں تیرے در پر مدینے میں مدینے باپ لے جاتے ہیں میں بھی آؤں گا مدینے باپ لے جاتے
مدینے کا سن جاتے ہیں کے جتنے غریب ہو پھر بھی غلام آپ کے جتنے غریب ہو پھر بھی غلام آتے گے جاتے
سبحان اللہ، کیا بات ہے، مدینے کی، مدینے قافلے جاتے ہیں میں بھی آؤں گا، سبحان اللہ، آمین، اللہم آمین ثم آمین. It is never impossible for a believer to go to مدینہ المنورہ providing that he desires to go there and if his call is there then nothing in the world could ever stop him from going to مدینہ المنورہ. نہ کہیں سے دور ہے منزلے، نہ کوئی قریب کی بات ہے، نہ کہیں سے دور ہے منزلے، نہ کوئی قریب کی بات ہے، جسے چاہا در پہ بلا لیا، جسے چاہا اپنا بنا لیا. یہ بڑے کرم کے ہیں فیصلے، یہ بڑے نصیب کی بات ہے، سبحان اللہ. So dear viewers, plan to go on to مدینہ المنورہ, plan to travel on the spiritual journey, for it is a life-changing journey. A lot of people go to مدینہ المنورہ, مکہ المکرمہ, come back reformed and this is the place to be at, سبحان اللہ. اللہ اکبر. بلکہ ایک شاعر نے بڑا اچھا شعر کہا ہے, ویری گڈ کپلت, سبحان اللہ. جسے زیادہ تکلیف ہو, پریشانیاں ہو, مصیبتیں ہوں, سو دوز ہو آر سراؤنڈڈ بائی کلیمٹیز اینڈ پرابلمز, لک ایٹ وٹ دی پوئٹ سیز سو بیوٹیفلی, اللہ اکبر. ہی سیز,
جسے مارا ہو غموں نے, جسے گھیرا ہو دکھوں نے, مارا ہو غموں نے, جسے گھیرا ہو دکھوں نے, میرا مشورہ ہے اس کو وہ مدینہ ہو کے آئے, میرا مشورہ ہے اس کو وہ مدینہ ہو کے آئے, میرا مشورہ اس کو,
سبحان اللہ, سبحان اللہ. So if someone is surrounded with calamities, problems, adversities, the poet says, my advice to him is, Just go to Medina and come back. All your problems will be solved. Subhanallah. This is reality, dear viewers. Nonetheless, coming back to our discussion, and alhamdulillah, as I mentioned earlier, that today we are going to be speaking about not giving difficulty to the deceased. Since death is confirmed for every living being, everything that has lived in this world will take the taste of death. And this is the teaching of the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kullu nafsin za'ikatul maut. Since every desire shall take the taste of death, therefore, it is something which is very commonly observed that people do not really pay attention. I'm talking about the majority of Muslims throughout the world. The majority of Muslims around the world do not take heed when it comes to taking care of a deceased, the handling of the mayyit, the burial and the shrouding and the ghusl of the mayyit. After burial, the way the qabr and graveyard supposed to be taken care of, all these matters are of great, great, great concern. And since it is something that you can only experience once you die, a living person cannot experience that. But there are similarities to explain the reason why we shouldn't do that. And this is exactly what we are going to be speaking about this morning, inshallah azza wa jal. The topic is, do not give difficulty to the deceased. Now, here I present to you some narrations which will enlighten you, which will definitely open your eye to make you understand this mas'ala even more better. Which way, from which angles, from which aspects can one give difficulty to a deceased? There are various ways. I want to start off with something very, very important. And this is my main focus in today's episode and program. Aside from the handling of the mayyat, I'm speaking about when a person passes away, the way the family members will take care of him in terms of giving him ghusl, kafan, dafan, that's another subject altogether. Here I'm talking about your deeds of the living being. For example, I am living right now, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, but my deeds and my actions are then presented before my loved ones in my family. The deeds and the actions which I perform are presented to my family members who pass away, likewise with you as well. And this is exactly what the hadith of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, that the actions of the living being are presented before the deceased people of the family. And when they see good deeds, they become happy. And when they see that bad actions were performed, then they become saddened upon the actions of their loved ones. Allahu Akbar. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Sadaqa bin Sulaiman Ja'afari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi states. Now listen to this account, listen to this story, and it will surely enlighten you. Now this is his own experience. He says, Sayyidina Sadaqa bin Sulaiman Ja'afari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, in my youth days, I was distant from performing virtuous deeds. I was a sinner. I would not perform, you know, virtuous deeds, and I was close to transgressions rather. He says, in this time my father passed away, as I was closer to transgressions, violating rules and regulations. In that period and during that stage of my life, my father passed away. This passing away was a turning point in my life, in the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Sadaqa bin Sulaiman Ja'afari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He says, and then after some time, I went back to sinning. I went back to committing sins, back to that same lifestyle. And then he says, I seen my deceased father in my dream one day. And he stated to me in my khab, in my dream, oh my son, I was extremely happy with you as your deeds were presented to me. They resembled the actions of the pious people that caused me to become happy with you. But then, not very long thereafter, your bad actions, your irresponsible actions and bad deeds were then presented to me that has caused me immense grief and pain at this very moment to know that you could do things like that. So your actions
have been presented to me and I have seen the things that you do. Those who are not living in this world, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed the family members that passed away to learn and to know and to see the actions of their own family members, what they are indulged in, what they are busy doing in the world. And as much as the deceased would love to explain and would love to narrate to you the reality after death, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has kept this concealed for a reason. The affairs and the matters of the hereafter are kept concealed, though we know in the books of Ahadith what is to happen. But the actual experience of those who tasted death cannot explain to you, except for the fact if they come in your dream and they will tell you how they feel. So, Hazrat Sayyidina Sadaqa bin Sulaiman Ja'afri rahmatullahi ta'ala says, my dad came in my dream and told me that, son, when you used to perform virtuous deeds, it caused me so much of happiness. But the moment you turn towards sinning, this caused enough grief to me and pain to me. He says, but it was that moment when I opened my eyes the next morning and I thought to myself, is it really worth it? My father knows my actions. If he was like really living, I wouldn't have performed these actions in front of his eyes. So why do it behind his back when he still knows what I'm doing? And he then abandoned sinning and he became such a pious personality. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That his entire life had changed, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Hazrat Sayyidina Sadaqa bin Sulaiman Ja'afri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi repented from all his previous sins and transgressions, and then he proceeded to live a life of steadfastness, piety, and being a very, very God-fearing man. His life had changed. So he had explained his life and his story as to what had caused him to transform. And it was a dream when his father had told him that your deeds are presented to me. Now, I would love to present the hadith of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to back up this narration that I have narrated to you. Because in the books of ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that bad deeds performed by the living become the cause of sadness for the deceased family members. Observe the two statements of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which I present to you right at this moment. On Monday and Thursday, 2 days in a week, Mondays and Thursdays, the deeds are presented in the court of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. All the actions, yet it is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a system, and this is the mansha and the planning of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that we could become better Muslims. Every Mondays and Thursdays, your actions and your deeds, what you have done for that week is presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And on every Friday, your actions, your deeds, whether they are good, whether they are bad, they are presented in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the court of your parents as well, to your mother and father. Allahu Akbar. So they become happy when they see the virtuous deeds you have performed, and they become very sad. I'm speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm speaking about the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm speaking about your parents. They become happy to see the good deeds, and they become extremely sad and worried and concerned when they see bad actions and bad deeds performed by their family members. On Mondays and on Thursdays, your actions are presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and every Friday, your father, your parents, they get to know the actions that you have performed. And they would love to warn you, but unfortunately, we are unable to hear. The next hadith of the Holy Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, do not give difficulty to your deceased by means of your actions as they are presented upon your family members who had passed away. So Rasulullah said, do not cause difficulty upon them. Do not put them in any sort of taklif. Now, let me explain this to you in a better way, right? Your father, who is your everything, alhamdulillah, when he is living in the same house as you are under his shelter, and alhamdulillah, you live as a family. When he is living, you try never to cause any taklif to our parents, mother or father. If there's any evil actions we perform, we have remorse and regret upon it. Generally, the children could ask forgiveness from their fathers for hurting them, mother, or whatever the case may be. I'm speaking about parents and children, right? Once they have passed away and they are gone, it does not mean now they cannot see or they cannot know about the actions that we do. Just as when they were living, you prevented and you protected yourself from hurting them. Likewise, a Muslim should be most concerned about their well-being, even in the grave. Just as you would never cause harm to them while they were living, likewise, do not cause difficulty upon them when they are gone. And the way to do that is that once they die and they are gone, you perform bad actions, drinking, doing drugs, you know, committing fornication, and so many other sinnings, and so many other gunas. Imagine your parents, your father that you used to hide away from, you used to feel embarrassed when you perform any bad actions in front of him. He knows exactly every single thing that was performed by his daughter or by his child. What do you think would go through him at that moment? For he cannot advise you, but he knows everything you do, and you will unite with him on the day of judgment. And then the sins will be open even in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it goes on and so forth, dear viewers of Madani channel. Hadrat Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, it's for this reason he had done what he's done. I'm going to explain to you what Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu had done. He would make dua regarding his martyred uncle. Look at the dua Abu Darda radiallahu anhu would make. Now, just listen to this, dear viewers, how beautiful this is. Abu Darda, who was a great companion of the Holy Rasul, he would make this dua regarding his shaheed uncle, to say his martyred uncle who became, accepted martyrdom. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the uncle of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. And every time Abu Darda radiallahu anhu would make dua, he must say this sentence. What is the sentence? He would say, "Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I ask you refuge from those deeds which become a means of my uncle." Who is my uncle? Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu becoming upset and naraz, becoming embarrassed by my actions. Protect me from those actions which will cause my deceased uncle Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu to be embarrassed with my actions. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has also mentioned the similar narration with the similar wordings. He says, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu would make the dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, "Oh Allah, I ask you for refuge from every work that becomes a means of my humiliation in front of my uncle Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu." So, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, protect me from those bad actions which will cause embarrassment to my deceased uncle. Allah. Allah. Subhanallah. So your father, he knows everything that you have done and you are doing. Every Jumu'ah, Allah Azza wa Jalla allows those actions of yours performed to be presented in the court of the father, the mother. And they become happy when they see good actions, and they become so sad and they gain taklif in the qabr when they see that the children, the awlad, are doing the wrong things in this dunya. It is a great matter of concern to your viewers of Madani channel. Now, alhamdulillah, if you move on, dear viewers of Madani channel, further details of this have been presented in various books, alhamdulillah. However, let's listen to another hadith of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لا تؤذي صاحب هذا القبر. Do not give pain to the inhabitant of the qabr. Now, why this happened was, Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam seeing a person leaning against a grave. Though people think it is nothing wrong to do so, in various countries that I have visited, Allahu Akbar, I have seen people sitting upon the grave and eating a meal. Astaghfirullah, na'udhu billah. You know, dear viewers of Madani channel, this is so contrary to the teachings and to the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having a meal, sitting on a grave, sleeping on the grave, leaning against the grave, stamping and tramping and walking over the qabr, all of these actions, urinating upon the grave, you know, leaving excretion on the qabr, on the grave, building a house or home or building a pathway on the qabr, he receives a lot of taklif and pain. And therefore Rasulullah said, La tu'di sahiba hadha al-qabr. Do not cause harm to the deceased of this grave. These are the words of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also caused taklif. And what happens 99.9% of the time is that jab bhi kisi ka intiqal ho aur hum qabristan jaate hain to hum ye dekhte hain apni aankhon se ki, you know, there are little gullies and pathways to walk. There is not much space in the qabristan. Sometimes there are, it depends on what graveyard, which country. Every country is so different. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, the graveyards are very, very tidy, very, very neat, alhamdulillah. And there are people who are responsible to take care of the graveyard. They get paid and they would, you know, make sure that there's grass, there's gardening done, it's beautiful. Animals don't excrete on the land in the graveyard. And people would make sure they do that in terms of janazah being performed. The facilitation should be perfect, should be good, should be nice. But yet all of that is done. When people are taking the mayyat to the qabr itself, people walk over graves. They're tramping over the qabr. They haste and they take the mayyat and go towards the grave. But as they are burying one deceased, they cause harm to the neighbor of the deceased by standing upon his grave. Yet that mayyat can see, he can feel, he can experience. He can't say what he wants to say. He can't express his feelings of what he's going through. So he's unable to express it through his tongue, yet he can see and he can experience and feel. It's so important to remember these points, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Therefore, Allah Hazrat Azim al-Barkat, Parwani Aisha Mi'i Risalat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, has stated, this pain given to the deceased is something which was observed by those illustrious tabi'een and the honorable scholars who were possessive of spiritual insight. Allahu Akbar. The awliya and the saliqeen, the pious predecessors, would be able to witness the happenings and the actions of the grave. It was not hidden from them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to one narration, was passing by two graves, and he saw that both the deceased of the graves were being punished. They were being tormented in the qabr. And the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then informed his companion about the torments of the grave for each of them. And he says, they are being punished for not something which they could have not avoided. They could have avoided. The first person is being punished for not protecting from the splashes of urine, and the second is being punished for backbiting. Dear viewers, the point I want to bring to you is that the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could see what was happening beneath the ground, though there was tons of sand over that qabr. But our beloved Nabi, who has the knowledge of the unseen, was giving the khabar and the news of what's happening inside the grave. Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu would cry at the qabr to the extent that the soil of the grave would become moist due to his tears. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the Habib of Allah azza wa jal, who is a perfect role model, he would cry when he goes to the qabr. How hard-hearted we have become, dear viewers, that we don't even think about death. And when we do think about death, it's just about, yeah, when time comes, you'll see. Who really cares about performing virtuous deeds and preparing himself for that last day, dear viewers? It is extremely important. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali then says that placing your head upon the qabr, leaning against the grave, standing upon the qabr, all these actions perform difficulty or they cause harm. Ala Hazrat again then says, Subhanallah, Sayyidi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha even forbid combing the hair of the deceased, as she would say that combing the hair of the deceased causes pain and taklif to him. Allahu Akbar. Handling of the mayyat, handling of the deceased is so necessary and important. People will just want to close the mouth of the deceased by putting so much of pressure at times for tying the toes, closing the mouth, closing the eyes, carrying the mayyat, taking the mayyat to the ghusl khana. While giving ghusl, one has to be so gentle with the amount of water he uses, with the temperature of the water that he uses to give ghusl. When it comes to kafan, it comes to carrying of the mayyat, one cannot just do as he feels. The mayyat feels pain, they feel taklif, but they cannot tell you that they are in pain. Handle their body with care. Handle them with respect and love, even if you don't know them. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's move on to a Madani pool, which we will be listening to in the next few moments from now, inshallah. Listen to this Madani pool, and when we do come back, inshallah, we are going to complete our discussion for this morning. And I have much more to explain and say. Please stay tuned with Madani channel. It is extremely important. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A renowned commentator of the Holy Quran, Hakim ul-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, has stated, "The Rasul of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, offered almost 500 Jumu'ah Salah as offering of Jumu'ah Salah commenced subsequent to the migration, after which the total period of the apparent life of the Holy Prophet is 10 years, and there are 500 Fridays in 10 years period. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. We say shukran to our Muballigh, mashallah, for giving us these beautiful Madani pools. Now, look at what Allama Abdul Mustafa Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes. He says, "It is universally agreed upon that anything which can cause difficulty and pain to a living person, the very same thing can cause pain and taklif to a deceased person as well. As such, to urinate or leave excretion upon the grave, leaving anything filthy upon the qabr, breaking apart the graves until they are totally destroyed, all these actions cause taklif. As I mentioned, building something on the qabr, extending the grave, making properties over that, all of these actions perform difficulty to the qabr. It is necessary for every Muslim to respect and honor Muslim's graveyard and refrain from any act which disrespects a Muslim's grave or causes it damage and harm. It is not correct, Allahu Akbar, even to the extent he says that even keeping them in freezers, freezing their body in cold rooms also causes taklif to the mayyit. Allahu Akbar, even when the bodies are cut for certain tests to be done, there are rules and regulations in place, but I'm speaking from an Islamic point of view, this causes immense taklif and pain to the deceased as well. So when we are commanded to handle the deceased with so much of care, you know, as he's delicate at that moment, Allahu Akbar. The author of Sharh al-Sudur have mentioned some, you know, points with regards to how much of taklif and pain they go through. Even, you know, handling them hard or bathing them, giving them ghusl with cold water could put them into so much of pain. But many people out there unconcerned about this, and we regard this as a normal thing, dear viewers of Madani channel. Allahu Akbar. But today, inshallah, azawajal, let's listen to some of the points of Sharh al-Sudur, inshallah, as I mentioned about this. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know who he is, a great sahabi of the Holy Rasul. He said, "The deceased recognizes those who give him ghusl, those who carry him, those who put his kafan, and those who lower him into his qabr. He recognizes every one of them. He knows them." Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Hadrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu had reported, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The deceased recognizes the one who gives him ghusl. He requests those who are carrying him, 'Please take me fast,' if he was given the glad tidings of being a jannati." How important it is to, you know, handle the mayyit with care, with love. Even speaking about the mayyit, talking about the mayyit should be good, never anything bad. Do not remember the bad actions of the person who has died. Always think about the good he has done, and speaking bad about him is also not a good thing. Hazrat Ibn Abi Dunya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has reported from Hazrat Sufyan radiyallahu anhu saying that the deceased recognizes everything to the extent that it says to the one giving it ghusl. He recognizes everything and he speaks to the one who is giving ghusl. Ab baat bhi kar rahe hote hain lekin hum sun nahi pa rahe hote hain. Wo baat karte bhi hain magar hum sun nahi paate hain. Wo kya kehte hain? He says, "Be gentle, please be gentle with giving ghusl to me." Look at this, subhanallah. Hazrat Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, "Your deeds are presented to your deceased relatives and close ones." Remember, not alone your parents, your relatives as well are included in this. If the deeds are good, they become pleased. Otherwise, they make this dua saying, Allahumma la tumithum hatta tahdiyahum kama hadaytana. Oh Allah, do not cause them death until such a time that you grant them guidance like you granted us guidance. Leave alone you making dua for the deceased, rather the deceased is making dua for you. Allahu Akbar. But the deceased says, Allahumma la tumithum. Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, do not cause them death. Hatta tahdiyahum, until such a time that you grant them guidance. Kama hadaytana, like you have guided us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And who narrates this hadith? Hazrat Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sayyidina, you know, in Musnad Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Kitab Musnad, I'm just speaking about where this hadith can be found in Musnad Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. This is exactly what the words of the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abi Dunya and Ibn Mubarak radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, I have also reported similar narrations, dear viewers of Madini Channel. Ibn Mubarak reported from Hazrat Uthman bin Ali. Okay, it's a long narration with regards to what happened and how this is dealt or what happens with them in the qabr. However, dear viewers of Madini Channel, I would end here because time is very less. But right now, we should respect and love those who passed away with Iman. We should make a lot of dua for them, our parents, our relatives, and never perform any action which will cause your relatives and your loved ones any sort of taklif in the qabr. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, from now onwards, whenever you go to the qabr, make salam. Learn, form this habit. Even if you're driving past the qabristan, you walk into a graveyard, remember to say, Assalamu alaikum ya ahl al qubur. If you can learn it furthermore, yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum antum salafuna wa nahnu bil athar. What a beautiful dua Islam has taught us. When we make dua to those who are the dwellers of the qabr, we say to them, may peace be upon you, O dwellers of the grave. May Allah Azza wa Jalla pardon us and pardon and forgive y'all too. Y'all have left before us and soon we are to join you. Allahu Akbar. And when you go to the qabristan, try to go bare feet without using shoes. Respect of the qabristan. When you stand at the grave, stand by the chest side instead of the leg side, as this causes mayyat takleef to see who has come to visit him, who he wants to see and he can hear. Allahu Akbar to all that you recite and you send and forward towards him. He even receives the good deed. So your account will never come to an end by sending. Rather, you will be rewarded equally to the amount of people, to the number of people that you have forwarded the thawab and reward to. Meaning, the number of people that you have forwarded the thawab to is the amount of thawab and reward you will also get back in return for giving them the thawab. So don't feel shy, inshallah. Every namaz, after every salah, make dua for your parents. And from now onwards, remember, Mondays and Thursdays, your deeds are presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And on a Friday, it is presented in the court of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, in front of our parents as well. So do good deeds, which will make them happy. I always end with saying, stay good, be good, do good. And I would sign off by reminding you, our Madani Maqsad and mission of Da'wat Islami, it is, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember